Good morning. We're going to go ahead and start our service. Thank you for coming. We're going to go to 121. 121, Like a River Glorious. Number 121. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. I pray you please bless the service and be with us. And I pray you keep blessing the song service and that you bless the preaching later on as well. And you be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go ahead to the next hymn, which is number 20. Number 20, When I See the Blood. Hymn number 20.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I
All right, everybody, good morning. Thank you for showing up this Sunday morning. And if you need a bulletin, one of the men can get one to you if you raise your hand. But right there on the first, on the inside page, we have our Sunday morning service time, 10:30. Sunday evening, 5:30, and 7 p.m. for our Thursday night Bible study. And our soul winning times are on there. We updated the salvations. We had one salvation yesterday, so we're up to 100 this year. And so also keep in prayer our expecting mothers. You know, that's why I'm holding this baby right now, because my wife's holding the other one. And that baby will be here Thursday. So Amen. Be in prayer for us this coming Thursday. We'll be having little Samuel. Samuel Eugene Adair. And also be in prayer for Mrs. Whitney Reed. The Reeds over there, they got a baby on the way. And then Mrs. Rochelle Hill, Matt and Rochelle. And obviously our pastor's wife, Mrs. Shelley, be in prayer for her as well. A lot of babies on the way, so that's good. It's a blessing. So also we have updated our Bible memory chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So we're moving on to the next verse. And it's a great verse, you know, we need to stay on top of that, keep track with that. Also, we got our house rules there. Don't let your kids be running around and, you know, swinging from the chandeliers. Don't let them be, you know, tripping people up in here. So be careful, and, you know, we need to have supervision on all our own children at all times. Also, no children back there behind the media table. Don't want to hit any of that soundboard back there, like kill the audio for everything. So, also, we got the mother-baby room right over here. There is a mother-baby room inside the room right there with the window. And then we have the toddler room right there outside of that room. So use those at your discretion. And also, you know, we got the note on there for the water bottles. Don't be just wasting all the water bottles. Don't be a freeloader, right? And also on the next page right over there, we have the Galveston Soul Winning Marathon still on here. But, you know, they just had that yesterday, and I got the totals was 61 salvations yesterday. Amen. So they did a good work down there yesterday. You know, soul winning on the beach, right? No. But I bet that was a lot of fun. We'll hear about it when they get back, right? Amen. And so glad that we could have a part in that. And then also our Texas and Oklahoma Easter Memorial Weekend. which is going to be a great weekend for soul winning. If you've been lax on your soul winning, you know, and we're trying to ramp that up, we're going to have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then also Sunday, like we always have on Sunday, be a lot of soul winning time on that weekend. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So if you can, make sure that you get signed up on the sheets right over there by the media table. And then we have the men's retreat on there, you know, May 20th to 22nd. And, you know, if you need any further reasons why to go, you could ask Brother Ben. He was there last year for the men's retreat. And you know, I'm sure he could give you plenty of good reasons why you should go this year. And also, Pastor Anderson is going to be there preaching. So that'll be exciting. That'll be fun. So it was a great time last time I went. So also, obviously, like I just mentioned, Brother Ben Naeem is here to preach for us all day today. And after that, this coming Thursday, Pastor Shelley is going to be up here to preach for us, March 11th. And then March 21st, Pastor Shelley is going to be back to preach for us. Hey, attention. So, and then April 22nd, he's going to be back to preach again. So he's going to be coming a lot here soon. That'll be good. And then Pastor Aaron Thompson is going to be showing up April 25th. So that'll be great. And so also on the back, there's a, you know, section on there so you can fill out notes or take notes for the sermon. But we'll go ahead and go to our next song, song number 236, No Not One. All right, song number 236.
All right, hymn number 236, No Not One.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day. The lonely Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy, no, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one, no, not one. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one, no, not one. Did ever saint find his friend forsaken? No, not one, no, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus.
to the Bible reading, Ephesians chapter 5. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5 while the men take the offering.
Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible reads, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for these truths that you've preserved for us in the scriptures. Father, I pray that you fill Brother Ben with your spirit as he preaches a word to us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. I want to begin by thanking Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to fill the pulpit today. It's always an honor. I also want to give a shout out to Brother Tanner Furr and just exhort you guys to pray for him and pray for his family. I think he's doing an excellent job here.
Amen.
And I wanted to give him a shout out for all the work that he's putting in as the boots on the ground here at Steadfast Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. So you heard there Ephesians chapter 5 being read, and I appreciate that. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and verse 8. That's what I want to focus on, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, where the Bible read, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Notice this part here, "walk as children of light." See, what this verse is explaining to us is that at one point we were darkness, but now the Bible says we're light in the Lord, and we have a commandment here, "walk as children of light." My sermon title this morning is "Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1 and lay down the foundation, which is this. God is likened unto light. God is likened unto light. We see this in scores of scriptures, but 1 John 1 is clear. We also know that his word is a light unto us. It says so in Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now here's the thing. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that the word is God. The word is a light unto our feet, the Bible says. That's what it talks about there in Psalm chapter 119. His word illuminates our path, and it's a path that we should take for our lives that's illuminated by the word of God. This is what directs every direction that we're going to go. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. The reason why we know anything about God's nature, the reason why we know anything about his will for our lives is because we appeal to his word. We appeal to this light that we all have, and it's sitting on your laps this morning. John chapter 8 says this. I had you turn to 1 John 1. I want to quote something for you from John chapter 8. It says in verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we see that Jesus Christ himself describes himself as what? The light of the world. Amen. And we see also that in that scripture, following him is juxtaposed with walking in darkness. Meaning that if you're following Christ, you're not walking in darkness, you're walking in the light. And that's what I want to exhort you to do this morning, is walk in the light and walk as children of light. Now, as this world that we see today, this culture that's surrounding us, embraces darkness, as it embraces wickedness, as it embraces perversion today, there's an even greater need, I feel like, in 2021 for the gospel. There's an even greater need for the light of the word of God. There's an even greater need for the Lord Jesus Christ. As this world continues to slide down on its bobsled straight to hell, we need the light probably more than ever today. We need the word of God more than ever today. And what we need is the gospel. That's the solution. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what else we need? We need God's people not to walk as they walk, not to walk in the darkness, but to walk as children of light. Amen. And I'm going to be hammering that throughout the entire sermon this morning. If there's one thing I want you to leave the building with this morning, it's this. Walk as children of light, not as darkness. The children of darkness, I should say. 1 John chapter 1, notice verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that, notice this part, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So again, we see God is likened unto light. And also the Bible tells us that if we say that we have fellowship with him, but rather walk in darkness, walk in the old man consistently, we're lying. You don't have fellowship with him if you yield to the flesh constantly. You don't have fellowship with the Lord. Now here's what's interesting. Physics says that light moves so quickly that it's essentially outside of time, in a sense. Well, we do know that God is outside of time as well. And God is light. So we should walk as children of God. The Bible says that we've been adopted into his family after we got saved. Look at 1 John 1, verse 7. Verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walk in the light. What does that mean? It means we have fellowship. Now, here's the thing. There are a large swath of the children of God who aren't walking in the light. In fact, they're overtaken by apathy. They couldn't possibly care less about coming to church, and they're not doing what's right in the sense of the work of God. They're not going out soul winning. They're not going to church. They're not serving God. This is why oftentimes, and it's sad to say this, but it seems like in many areas, not all areas, but in many areas, it's the new IFB church that's doing a vast majority of the soul winning. Yeah. And these other churches that preach every Sunday morning and Sunday night about how loving they are doing nothing about the fact that people are dying and going to hell each and every single day, people that live just minutes away from the place that they congregate. Right. And that's sad. It's sad. And you know what? Those churches are not walking as children of light. They're walking as children of the darkness today. And they're not embracing the Word of God and standing on the Word of God. Let me ask you this question. Why is it that whenever one of our churches ends up in the news for preaching against the Sodomites, only an infinitesimal number of Baptist preachers are willing to get up with a spine, by the way, who actually have a spine? Why is it that such an infinitesimal number of Baptists are willing to stick their neck out for the Word of God and say, I stand with him? Right. Yeah. Why is that? Because, unfortunately, the state of Christianity today is not a very good one. And most people who are saved are not walking as children of light. The reality is, folks, we used to be in bondage. We used to be in bondage when we were unsaved, but now we're not. You know, you were darkness at one point. Why would you live like you still are today? That's my question for you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 4, which says in verse number 1, Ephesians chapter number 4. Again, what's the sermon about? Walking as children of light. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, what do I mean when I say walk as children of light? What I mean is what this says right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, to walk worthy of the vocation, to behave in such a way that you're worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now, think about this for a minute. In the eyes of the lost, in the eyes of those who don't know God, the way we behave can be either a positive or a negative reflection of who the God of the Bible truly is. You know, I've noticed this out soul winning is you'll talk to people who've been disenfranchised with respect to church and the things of God, and oftentimes they'll blame that on man. Now, is it right for them to do that? No, obviously we shouldn't use the actions of sinful man as an excuse not to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that, but whether it's right or wrong, people still do it. So we might as well be a positive reflection on the God of the Bible so that when people look at us, they don't see a bunch of hypocrites who act spiritual on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, but then act like the world each and every other day throughout the week, but rather they see people who are living according to what they're preaching. You see people, and obviously we're all going to be hypocrites in the sense that we're all sinners and yet we all preach against sin, right? So I understand that. But my point is this. If all you do is walk in the old man, if there's nothing outwardly that reflects the fact that, you know what, you believe the doctrines that are thundered forth behind this pulpit each and every single week, if you're not showing people unapologetically that you love the Lord, then what do you think they're going to believe about the God of the Bible? What do you think they're going to believe about the doctrines that you espouse? They might think you're not genuine. And in fact, the way we behave does reflect on the God of the Bible. You see this with earthly parents. They don't want their children to act up. Why? Because it reflects negatively on them as parents. Well, you know, the same thing applies to God. He is your Father in heaven. So we ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Walk as children of light. Now, you might be asking, well, Ben, how do I do that? Well, thankfully, the Bible tells us. Amen. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the sermon talking about is how exactly, let's be specific, how exactly can we walk as children of light? Where this phrase is used in Ephesians chapter 5, it's also used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in both of those scriptures, we actually see, in my opinion, instructions on exactly how we can accomplish this. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll learn about how we can walk as children of light, how exactly we can accomplish this in our Christian life. And my first point is this, and it's simple. Walk in love. Now look, I preach against these people who are totally imbalanced and all they ever focus on is love. That's all they ever want to preach on. That's all they ever want to talk about is just love, 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 the love of God only. They never talk about God's wrath. They never talk about God's judgment. They never talk about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is angry with sinners. They don't talk about any of those things. They just want a positive only message. And there are a plethora of churches like that. But just because we preach against those who are imbalanced in that way doesn't mean that we should forget about love either. Because you see, we don't want to get imbalanced the other way and only focus on God's hatred, right? We don't want to get imbalanced in that way and only focus on God's wrath, because the Bible contains scriptures about both. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're exhorted to walk in love. It says in verse 1, Ephesians 5 verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So the Bible tells us here to walk in love, and it describes Jesus Christ saying that we should walk in love as Christ did so. The Lord gave himself for us. So what do we learn here? Well, we see obviously that, you know, his sacrifice was a sweet-smelling savor, which is a fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifices, the carnal sacrifices that pointed to Christ, which they were a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord, in the sense that they pointed to the spiritual truth that Christ's sacrifice was a sweet-smelling savor to God the Father. But Paul explains here to walk in love. What does that entail? What does that mean, right? Because that's just sort of a platitude to be loving. Everyone says that, oh, you gotta love more, right? But what does that really mean? Well, I think what we can derive from the text here is that, first of all, walking in love entails sacrifice. Because notice, right after it tells you to walk in love, it describes what Jesus Christ did for us, his sacrifice for us. Yeah. So what we can learn then is that walking in love, first of all, entails sacrifice, but it also entails sanctification. Later on in the chapter, it talks about sins that we should abstain from. And so walking in love entails both sacrifice and sanctification. Sacrifice and sanctification. Remember, it said, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Christ's love was exhibited by the fact that he sacrificed himself for us. And if you want to exhibit love in your Christian life, you know what John the Baptist said? He must increase, I must decrease. You know what it means? It means demoting yourself and elevating others. It means sacrificing your wants and needs for the wants and needs of others. That's what it truly means to be loving. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." Charity lifts other people up. Charity esteems others better than yourself. It's inherently selfless, folks. It's inherently selfless. It's about lifting other people up. It's about exalting others rather than exalting yourself. And here's the thing. Charity is not demonstrated by meaningless platitudes, okay? It's not demonstrated by virtue signaling like all these Chuck E. Cheese churches do out there. Virtue signaling about how loving they are when they open up their food pantry and give away free meals for everybody. You know, the homeless drug addict who hates God and exploits churches like that. And then they blast it all over social media to blow the trumpet about how loving and tolerant and kind they are. That's not love. That's not love. Know what that is? That's virtue signaling. That's pride. That's trying to lift yourself up to be seen of men. You see, a truly loving person does good even if no one's paying attention. Because at that point, they're not going to get the glory. They're not going to get the acclaim. They're not going to get the praise from others. But God sees what they're doing, and they're rewarded accordingly. See, charity is demonstrated by spirit-filled soul winners who are going out and they're reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're walking as children of light by making known the mystery of the gospel. Look at that map back there. That's pretty huge. And if you want to walk in light, then you'll dedicate yourself to being part of the mission that this church has to shade in every inch of that map. That's what it means to be loving. You know, you talk to people out there who don't know what it takes to go to heaven, and the really good salvations, obviously, you know, some salvations, people are kind of just, they pray with you, they say thanks, and they go back to what they were doing. But there are some who actually, you know, they're very thankful for what you just did. And when I encounter that person, it makes every slammed door worth it. Every person who cusses me out, tells me to get off their property, every person who said I'm not interested, every person who whined that he didn't have a mask on, Whenever I encounter someone who says, well, tears coming down their eyes, thanking their cheek, I should say, thanking the soul winner for taking the time to knock on their door and expose for them or teach them or illuminate for them what it takes to go to heaven. When you encounter that person, it makes every other rejection that you have to deal with worth it. And that's what it truly means to walk in love. That's what it truly means to walk in love, to reach the lost, to love the lost, to minister to the lost. You know, these people, a lot of the times they're deceived. They're deceived, they're ignorant. And when we go to them with Bible in hand to try and explain to them what it takes to go to heaven, you know what the missing ingredient is for some soul winners? A true, genuine love for the lost. Right. You say, what can I do to make my soul winning better? I feel like I've kind of plateaued a little bit. What can I do to make my soul winning better? How about be genuine? Don't just act like a robot. We're not there regurgitating speech, a speech that we memorized, right? We're not there to regurgitate some lines that we memorized. We're not there to be a robot. Show genuine love for these people. Care about them. Those are souls who will go to hell if they don't get saved. So show genuine love for these people. Care for them. Minister unto them. Be a blessing to them. That's how we walk in love, when we esteem them. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hey, God loved us. Why don't we then love each other? Why don't we love each other? Have genuine compassion one for another. Be compassionate toward each other. Care about each other. Ask, hey, how's it going? How's your week going? Is there anything I can pray for you? Is there anything that you need me to pray for you about, or whatever the case may be? Bear one another's burdens. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that do rejoice. That's what it truly means to walk in love. Notice what Romans 12 says in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, meaning ingenuine. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor. Notice this, preferring one another. Again, that means sacrificing your own needs for the needs of others, preferring others better than yourself. Selflessness. That's what it truly means to be loving. It says that it shouldn't be coupled with dissimulation, meaning there aren't any false pretenses. You're not doing it so that you can blast it all over your Facebook account or your Twitter account to make yourself look good in the sight of men. That's not genuine. Prefer one another, honor one another, lift each other up. That's what's going to help this church stay together and continue to do the work of the Lord. Philippians 2 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You say, how do I do that? How do I esteem others better than myself? Well, let me ask you this question. When you get on your knees to pray every single night, are you only praying for your own needs? Do you ever find yourself praying for other people? You say, well, I don't know what to pray about. Take a look at the bulletin. There's some pregnant ladies on there that I think could use your prayer. So here's my question. Do you only pray about yourself? Or do you find yourself praying for the needs of others? When you're in conversation with someone, when you're fellowshipping with someone, are you only talking about yourself, or are you asking the person you're speaking to about how their day is going, about how things in their life are going? Are you asking about them, the things that they're doing? Or do you only just talk about yourself? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. What else do we know? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. What else do we know about walking in love? Well, like I said, it's not just about sacrificing your own needs in favor of the needs of others. It's not just about lowering yourself in order to elevate others, but it's also about sanctification. Sanctification, or separation. That's what I mean by that word. Ephesians 5, look at verse 3. Now remember, we just talked about walking in love. We just read that commandment. Look what it says in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You say, I'm not sure what some of those words mean. Well, fornication would be when you engage in a physical relationship sanctioned only for marriage when you're not married. That's what fornication is, basically going to bed before you're married. Covetousness, desiring that which doesn't belong to you. The Bible also talks about here foolish talking or jesting, inappropriate comments, jokes, things that you wouldn't expect to come out of the mouth of a Christian. The Bible says these things should not be named among us. If you want to walk in love, you'll abstain from these things. If you want to walk in love, then you know what you'll do? You'll sanctify yourself. You'll be separate from the world. Because why? Walking in love entails a love for God. And if you want to love God, that means you're going to keep his commandments. That's what Jesus Christ said. And if you keep his commandments, then the inevitable result from that is you'll be separated and sanctified from the world. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So people might get confused on that. It's not saying that a saved person who commits these sins isn't going to heaven. We're looking at two groups here, and verse 5 is just referencing the unsaved in general. Of course, all people who are unsaved have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, okay? But obviously, if you are saved and you commit these sins, you can't lose your salvation. We have eternal life. That's not what the verse is talking about. Look at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So again, we were talking about the unsaved there in verse 5. Look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So what is this saying? Display behaviors that are consistent with what you would expect out of a child of God. And it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. If you walk in love, if you walk in love for God, then you will take what the Bible says seriously here. You know, you'll take heed to what the Word of God says there when it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why? Because walking in love implies sanctification, separation. 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love sacrifices for others. Love sacrifices for God. And love sanctifies us from the world as well. Why? Because we love the Lord. And again, if you love the Lord, what's the inevitable result? You're going to be different from the world. You're going to be different from the world. See, you got to pick. Do you love God or do you love the world? And for some Christians out there, you look at what they're watching on television, you look at what their internet history looks like, and it doesn't seem like they love God very much. It seems like they love the world, in fact. Let's go back to, actually, not Ephesians 5. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. Here's my second point. Watch and be sober. Watch and be sober. That's my second point. Now, we see that this phrase, children of light, is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we also see that it's coupled with instructions on exactly how to do that. 1 Thessalonians 5 says in verse 5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, so because of the fact that we're children of light, here's what's expected of us. Let us not sleep as do others, but notice, but let us watch and be sober. Now, when people think of the word sober, often they're thinking about abstaining from drinking alcohol, excuse me, or taking drugs, which I do think the word is in reference to that. But I think based on the context here, what we're referring to is awareness. Obviously, if you take alcohol and you take drugs, your awareness is inhibited. I understand that. But with respect to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's saying watch, be sober, meaning be aware of what's going on. Open your eyes. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what's happening in this world. Now, why would you need to be aware? Well, if you've ever paid any attention to end times Bible prophecy, you know that we need to be aware of what's going to come to pass in the future, because there's a lot that must transpire before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Head over to Matthew chapter 24, if you would. Matthew chapter 24. It's so important for us as children of God and children of light to watch and be sober, meaning let's be aware of what's going to come to pass in the future. Let's be aware of what's happening around us. Matthew chapter 24 says this. In fact, it exhorts us to do that. Mark 13 says the same thing. Mark 13 also is about the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus talks about the end times and what's going to happen in the future before his second coming. And he says, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, what does he mean by that? It means study your Bible. Know what's going to happen so it doesn't take you off guard, doesn't catch you off guard. Look at Matthew 24, verse 43. It says this, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, let me just do a quick side note here for a second. This is kind of a little commercial break. Jesus uses carnal truths to expound spiritual truths. What's he saying here? If the goodman of the house had known that a thief was coming, he would have watched, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken up. You know what that tells me? That tells me self-defense, A-okay. Some people think that it's wrong for you to defend yourself or defend your family using lethal force if necessary. But Jesus said that the goodman of the house, he wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken up if he knew that a thief was coming. That tells me that if somebody wants to try and break into my apartment in the middle of the night, then I have every right to grab my Glock 23 and blow their brains out to protect my wife, to protect my child. It has nothing to do with what I'm preaching, but just wanted to point that out. Look at verse 44. Therefore, notice, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hey, be ready for the end. Be ready for what's going to come. Now look, obviously we're not going to be able to predict everything. And a lot of end times Bible prophecy, or I should say some components of it, you got to leave up to conjecture. Because we're not exactly sure how it's all going to happen. But if you at least have an idea, if you studied your Bible, then it's not going to surprise you when the world continues to depart from biblical truth. See, the children of darkness, those who aren't saved, right now, a lot of them are running around like chickens with their heads cut off at the civil unrest that we're seeing today, at, you know, everything that's going on with respect to political turmoil, okay? People don't know how is it that America just gets worse and worse and worse? How is it possible for some of these people, they don't know what's going on. They have no idea what's happening. Like I said, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off because they're not expecting this to occur. There are some folks out there who think that the world is going to get progressively more godly as we inch closer and closer to the end. That's what Jeff Bourbon thinks from Apostasia Church. He thinks as we get closer to the return of Christ, we're going to get more godly, then Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom. Wrong. You know what's coming? The Antichrist. And if you've studied the Word of God, if you know what's going to come to pass, if you understand Bible prophecy, then you know things are going to get a lot worse. And here's the thing. As children of God, let's not be perplexed at it like the children of darkness are. You know, we ought to watch. We ought to be sober and not be surprised by the things that are going on. Obviously, you should be angry about it, but don't be surprised. Get in your Bible, be prepared so that you're not caught off guard. Be aware of what's going to happen before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like these pre-tribbers who, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, they're like, what happened? I thought we were supposed to get raptured. Oh, you know, who knows? Their faith might take a hit. And if they're saved, obviously they're not going to deny Christ. But, man, some of those people are going to be very confused about the end times if they thought that we were going to get raptured out of here, you know, at any point between now and then. Walk as children of light. The children of the world are perplexed. They don't know what's going on. They're confused. And they're in despair at the civil unrest and the political turmoil. But the children of light, they know what to expect. They're aware. They're studying their Bible. And notice what I said. Study your Bible. I'm not saying it's wrong to look at the news every once in a while. But you know what? I don't think we should obsess over that. I don't think we should obsess over what's going on, what the news is saying. How about we obsess over what the Word of God says? Okay. And the Bible tells us what's going to happen before the rapture. Let's be aware in the sense that we understand Bible prophecy and we understand what's going to happen before the return of Christ. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. None of this should take us by surprise. My third point is this. Put on faith and put on the helmet of salvation. That's what it talks about there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, put on faith and put on the helmet of salvation is what it talks about. Look at verse 7 when you get back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. What separates the children of life from everyone else? Our faith. The fact that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have faith that, you know, when the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, that's true, that it will work together for good. Amen. The Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The children of darkness don't have that. We have that hope. See, whether it's sickness or stress or anxiety or whatever it is you're going through in your life, don't hang your head like the children of darkness who have no hope. You have faith. The Bible says, if God be for us, who could be against us? So let's not hang our heads in shame. Let's not hang our heads like those who have no hope. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, talks all about this. When you get to Hebrews 11, look at verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. See, the people out there, they don't have hope. We do. Act like it. Yeah. Hebrews 11, verse 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." So the Old Testament heroes of Christianity, the Bible tells us here, through faith they were able to accomplish mighty works for God. It was through faith that they were able to do these things. And notice what it says in verse 34. It says, out of weakness were made strong. How are they made strong out of weakness? Because of their faith. And for people who are maybe new to the Christian walk, they might feel a sense, an overwhelming sense of weakness. How is it? You know, for example, homeschooling moms who maybe have never done that before, they might feel a sense of weakness at the prospect of teaching their children at home and not sending them to the public school system. So for you homeschooling moms listening to this sermon this morning, let me ask you this question. Do you have the faith to overcome that feeling of weakness that you might be feeling, at the prospect of teaching your children at home? Because the Bible tells us here, out of weakness, that these Old Testament heroes of Christianity, heroes of the faith, that it was through faith that they were able to overcome that weakness. It was through faith, in fact, that out of weakness, they were made strong. So if you're a homeschooling mom today and you're feeling weak, if you're a homeschooling mom today and you think, I can't do it, how am I supposed to teach my children at home without relying on some teacher somewhere in the public school system? How am I supposed to do this? It seems overwhelming. Well, you know what? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that through faith you can derive strength out of weakness. And you can do it. Rely on the Lord to give you the wisdom necessary to accomplish that task so you can raise the next generation of soul winners. So you can raise the next generation of wise, Bible-believing Christians who go out and do mighty works for God. Let me tell you something about my son. I don't care. You know, if he wants to be a pastor one day, great. But I'm perfectly fine with him just being someone who loves the Lord. That's all I want for my son. That's all I want for my children. Just love the Lord. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter if they have a... I think it would be great if he just had a blue-collar job, an honest job, if he was a plumber, working with his hands, whatever the case may be. But here's what I want out of him. You love the Lord. You go soul winning. You contribute to your local New Testament church. That's what I want. And how's he going to get that way? Depends on how he's raised. Depends on how he's raised. But you know what? It also depends on the education he gets, especially when he's young. And you know where I want that education to come? Not from a bunch of atheists who hate God and are going to teach them about evolution and faggotry. I want them to get that education at home. Amen. And if you're a mother and you say, I want that for my children as well, here's something that I think could encourage you. That through faith, you can be made strong out of weakness. Even if you doubt your abilities and you doubt whether or not you can accomplish this task, you have faith in the Lord that he'll give you the wisdom to do it. And I believe he will. You know, there are fathers in this room today who might be worrying about whether or not they can provide for their family on one income. You know, I was there, and there are couples I've met who, because they were afraid of what their financial outlook might look like if there was only one income coming in, courtesy of the father of the house, the wife was working as well. She was out. They put the kids in a nursery somewhere. They had somebody take care of the kids while both mother and father were out working. Now, if you're a father today and you're the sole provider of your home and you feel a little weakness. You're worried about how exactly you're going to provide on one income. Let me tell you this. The Bible says that God has never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And so if you love the Lord today, if you're serving God today, then you shouldn't be worried, because God is going to make sure that you're fed. God's going to make sure that you have enough money in the bank to provide for your family. Through faith, you can derive strength out of weakness, and you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ on one income. You can engage in what I believe is the biblical model for marriage. Women at home taking care of the kids, cooking and cleaning, and the man going out and working his tail to the bone to provide for his family. That's what it's all about. And if you're afraid today of doing that, if you think, man, you know, I don't know what's going to happen if I take that first step of faith and I tell my wife to quit her job and you know, the family just relies on me to put food on the table, I'm really worried about how that's going to work out. Is God going to see this through? I'm here to tell you that if you love the Lord, then yes, he will.
Amen.
He will. And that's what separates the children of light from the children of darkness, because we have that faith inside that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, if you're a lazy derelict, you're going to end up on the street, just like a lot of them do, all right? But here's the thing. If you love the Lord, you're going to be fine. And that's what you should be worried about. Not whether or not God will come through for you, but rather whether or not you love the Lord. That should consume our thoughts. That should be what we're concerned with. Do I love God? Because if you do, then all things will work together for good. You know, I know this godly lady. Her family right now is persecuting her because of the fact that she wants to have as many children as possible, and in fact continues to grow her family in that way. She's fruitful and she's multiplying. And this godly lady has, you know, her own mother is persecuting her for it, distancing herself from this lady, saying, well, how could you do that? You're so selfish. How come you have such a big family? How is your husband going to be able to provide for you? This is a child of the darkness who just doesn't understand the faith that we have. You see, the world out there, they would look at a family who continues to multiply. They would look at a family with one financial source, one man going out, working a job to provide for a family of five or six kids, and say, that's insane. How could you do that? Well, I'll tell you how, because I have faith. Now, I'm not there yet. Maybe one day I will. Brother Matt seems to be on the way. Congratulations, another child coming soon. Folks, we have faith. That's why. Because if you love the Lord, like I said, God has never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So why then? Let me ask you this question. If they can't understand, if the children of darkness can't understand why you would turn your life around in that way, why then would you walk as they walk? They don't have what we have. They don't have faith. So you know what? Increase your faith. When the Bible talks about putting on the breastplate of faith, obviously, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Some of you in this room today, obviously most of you, had enough faith to believe the gospel and get saved. But it's unfortunate that some people just don't have enough faith to rely on the Lord to make sure that, hey, you know what? He's gonna make sure we always have something to eat on the table. Some of you don't have enough faith to say, hey, I'm going to make sure in my family that the man goes to work and the woman doesn't. Some of you don't have enough faith to say, you know what, let's have as many kids as God gives us. It's unfortunate. A lot of people struggle with that. They have enough faith to believe the gospel, but not enough faith that God's going to feed them carnally. Go to Romans chapter 8. What about the hope of salvation? The Bible talks about putting on the helmet of the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. And by the way, women who work at home, I think that's great. I don't have an issue with that. What I'm talking about is you both have full-time jobs and you got to put the kids in a nursery or something like that. I don't believe that's the biblical model. Romans chapter 8, look what it says in verse 24. It says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Notice, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about, hey, you want to walk as children of light, this is what you do. Put on the breastplate of faith. But then it also says a helmet. And what's that helmet describe? It's the hope of salvation. Look, if you believed on Christ, you're saved. But some people take their salvation for granted. That's what I think it's talking about when it says to put on the helmet of the hope of salvation, is that you meditate on the fact that you're saved. You thank God for the fact that you're saved. You don't take it for granted, right? You have a gracious attitude. Never take your salvation for granted. The children of light, they put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. And you know what that does for you? It actually enables you not to be overly obsessed with carnal matters. Because think about it, for the children of darkness, this life is all they have. So obviously, all they're going to care about is the carnal. But that's not true for the children of light. The children of light are anticipating something better in heaven. So never take your salvation for granted. The reality is this, it talks about the hope of salvation. It doesn't matter how bad America gets. It doesn't matter how wicked America gets. If you've put on this helmet, you have hope. So like I said earlier, don't hang your head down like the children of darkness do. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. My fourth point, examine what is acceptable to God. That's how we can walk as children of light, as we examine what is acceptable to God. Notice what it says in Ephesians 5. I know I read this earlier, but I'll go ahead and read it again in verse 8. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What's this saying? It means examine or judge or determine what is acceptable to God and then seek that out. See, the children of light, they discern whether every thought, every word, every action is pleasing to the Lord. That's what separates the children of light from the children of darkness. And let's read a verse about this. Go to Psalm 19, if you would. Psalm chapter 19. Meanwhile, I'll read from 1 Thessalonians 2. Head over to Psalm chapter 19. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So the primary focus that we should have as children of light is to please the Lord Jesus Christ and not man. Psalm 19 says in verse 14, Psalm 19, verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We need to ascertain whether what we say or who we are is in alignment with God's will and that it pleases the Lord. That's what I believe the Bible is telling us. It said that in Ephesians 5. It says it in Psalm 19, verse 4. And here's the thing. We can make knowledge claims about what God likes and what God hates based on His Word. And the children of God appeal to the Bible to determine their worldview. This is how we figure out what God wants for our life. It's not from some revelation that you get in your sleep. No one's going to hear the words of God. What I mean by this is, you know, God's not going to give you some extra biblical revelation. If you want to figure out whether something is pleasing to Him or not, you appeal to His Word. You don't appeal to political commentators. You don't appeal to Hollywood. Okay? You don't appeal to society. You don't appeal to the media, because their standard is always changing. You know, you don't appeal to these bunch of cancel culture freaks who plaster social justice warrior buzzwords on children's books. Now they're saying Dr. Seuss is racist. Their morality constantly changes. And if you ask them what the will of God is, then they're going to give you a completely different answer from what's contained in the Bible today. And that's why we don't appeal to them. We don't appeal to the children of darkness to figure out what the will of God is. We appeal to the Bible, and we make sure that everything we do, every behavior we exhibit, is pleasing to God. That's what it's all about. Let me just say this, you know, about the whole cancel culture thing. They say Dr. Seuss is racist, right? And it's like Mr. Potato Head, they claimed, now all of a sudden isn't a male. Now it's just gender neutral. These things are always changing. They're getting more and more ridiculous. But here's what's funny about it. They claim Dr. Seuss is racist, but then these same people push evolution on children. And what did Charles Darwin write in his Origin of Species book? It talks about, I think I wrote it down here actually. The Origin of Species, it says this, it talks about the preservation of favored races. How's that not racist? Think about this. If you're upset over what a children's book says, but not Charles Darwin and his Darwinism and this book that talks about the fact that favored races are going to be the ones that ended up excelling in nature. This guy was like a true white supremacist. They like to throw that word around constantly, that phrase constantly. But these same people, they'll push Darwinism down the throats of kids, but then ban, you know, stupid little children's books. It's ridiculous. That's why we don't appeal to this culture to figure out what we should be doing and how we should be acting and what we should be saying. No, I don't care what they think is offensive. I care about what God thinks is offensive. I'm out to please him, not these freaks, these weirdos out there, the cancel culture. And you see, my question for you is this. Would Jesus Christ be ashamed of your conduct on the job? Would Jesus Christ be ashamed of your behavior at home? Would Jesus Christ be ashamed of how you live your life outside these walls? That's what matters. And the children of God ensure that whatever we do pleases the Lord. The children of the light ought to make sure that whatever we do pleases the Lord. Are you concerned with what man thinks or with what God thinks? That's the question. Go back to Ephesians 5, if you would. And I'll go to my fifth point. My fifth point is this: seek wisdom. The children of the light seek wisdom. You say, I want to walk as a child of the light. Well, seek wisdom. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says here in Ephesians 5, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly. Notice this, not as fools, but as wise. So what's this saying? It's saying, first of all, walk carefully as a child of the light, but also with wisdom, not as fools, not as an idiot, but walk with wisdom. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You know what? People who act like morons, who act like fools, who act like idiots, they're not walking as children of light. The Bible tells us to get wisdom. People who glory in their own stupidity are not walking as children of light. You see people do this especially, and I hate to say it, Baptists do this a lot of the time. Well, I'm just a country bumpkin. I don't know. I can't read the words of the Bible. I don't know anything. I'm just an idiot. I ain't the sharpest drawer in the knife, you know what I mean? It's like, you think that's pleasing to God? When you meet children who are smart, doesn't that make their parents look good? Well, you're a child of God. When you run around glorying your own stupidity, what do you think that makes people think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. Probably not good thoughts, right? Head over to Proverbs 3. I want to make a point here. Proverbs chapter 3. The Bible emphasizes getting wisdom, not acting like an idiot. Okay? And again, unfortunately, it's just part of some people's culture where they like to exhibit this false humility. Well, I'm just an idiot, guys. That doesn't make you humble. You know, people think that if they bash themselves, that makes them humble. I know a guy who definitely exhibited this false humility. Sat in the front row of a different building, same church though. Bo Ballard. Yeah. This guy was the epitome of what it means to be fake humble. And people think, oh, well, if I just bash myself and call myself an idiot, that means I'm humble. No, it doesn't. It just means you're stupid. All right. And it means that you're not walking as a child of the light. That's not what God wants from you. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Proverbs 4, go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. Be smart, all right? Yeah. That's what it means. And you say, well, I didn't have the upbringing that allowed me to do. Hey, that's fine. That means you could start today. Pick up a book, read books, learn. You know? And unfortunately, people who think that they're walking as children of light embrace stupidity. They start believing a bunch of dumb doctrines. You know, like Ruckmanism. The idea that if you translate the King James Version of the Bible into a different language, that whatever the Bible is translated to into a different language must match the King James Version word for word. Now, you try doing that in Google Translate. It's going to sound horrible. It's going to sound idiotic. I speak a little bit of Arabic. When you say thank you to someone, you say Yislamahul Idain, all right? So if somebody were to pass you, like you're having dinner, and they pass you the salt or whatever, that's how you would say thank you. Now, if I want to translate that word for word, it literally means bless those hands. This is called an idiom, right? If you translate an idiom into a completely different language, and it's a literal word-for-word translation, it's going to sound goofy in the other language. Imagine if you're hanging out with somebody and you ask them to pass the ketchup or pass the salt while you're having dinner, and you go, bless those hands. They're going to think, like, who's this weirdo, right? Because in our language, in our vernacular, that idiom does not carry over. And guess what? There are certain idioms in the Greek that don't carry over word for word into English. And these people who would they would consume this ruckmanism and think that, oh, word for word, you know, it's got to be word for word. That's not walking as a child of the light. Okay, that's not walking in wisdom. That makes the KJV-only position look dumb. And that's the last thing you want to do with respect to good doctrine. So how about this? Don't believe stupid teachings. You know, run away screaming when people start to, you know, people come up to you and want to tell you about the flat earth. Right? Just run away. Run away as fast as you possibly can. Why? Because that's not walking as a child of the light. Yep. If you want to walk as children of light, walk in wisdom. Learn something new. Learn how to speak properly. Learn good vocabulary. And I understand everyone has different upbringings. I understand that. And for some of us, perhaps you grew up in a family that didn't emphasize this or maybe didn't teach it to you, but you can start today. Learn how to speak properly, have a good vocabulary, learn science. I think that's great. Learn history. Those are great things. Learn a new language, perhaps. Learn deep doctrines of the Bible. Put on wisdom. Walk in wisdom. That's what it means. You say, I want to walk as a child of the light. Well, then put on wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Don't glory in your stupidity. Go to Proverbs chapter 17, if you would. Proverbs chapter 17. I touched on this already multiple times throughout the sermon, but children can reflect either positively or negatively on their parents. I know a child at Steadfast, the son of a friend of mine, I think he's 3 or 4 years old, and he's able to recite entire chapters of the Bible. That, folks, reflects positively on the father and on the mother. You know, that child is a commendable ambassador of his parents. Well, how about we be commendable ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ? How about we be commendable ambassadors of God the Father? And you know, you're not going to be a commendable ambassador of God the Father when you're running around calling yourself dumb. Well, I'm just, you know, I can't even put a puzzle together. I just think the earth's flat, and there's an ice wall surrounding it, the ice wall, and you know, that's Antarctica, and the sun's going around in a circle, and it's like, get away from me. You're an idiot. That is not what it means to walk as children of light. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25. The Bible says this, a foolish son is a grief to his father. Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. A foolish son, grief to this. Now, this is an earthly father and an earthly mother. If my son comes up to me and, you know, starts talking about how the moon is its own source of light and things like that, I'm going to feel like that's going to be a grief to me, okay? Yeah. And how do you think God feels? You know, there are people who are saved who just, they want to embrace stupidity for some reason. And they think it means that they're humble. No, the Bible says walk in wisdom. When people claim the name of Christ and they deny reality, they say they can't put a puzzle together. You know, when they call themselves retarded, that's what they do, all right? That's not walking as a child of the light. That's not walking in wisdom. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that you should be a pseudo-intellectual, okay? There's a caveat here I need to add to this. You have guys like James White. They'll use unnecessarily big words to make themselves look like they're these scholars who know all of these amazing, you know, vocabulary, and they're so smart and everything like that. No, right? I'm not saying to be that way. But, you know, don't combat James White's pseudo-intellectualism by denying reality and calling yourself an idiot. Okay, that's not how we do it. Head over back to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. So what was my point here? My point was this, walk as children of light by walking in wisdom. Walk as children of light by walking in wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, when you get there, look at verse 11. And I believe this is my last point. This is my last point right here. You want to walk as a child of the light? You say, Ben, I want to walk as a child of the light. Well, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what it says in Ephesians 5. It says verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You remember in creation, what did God do? He divided the light from the darkness, didn't he?
Yeah.
And what we're supposed to do as children of light, if you want to walk as a child of the light, that presupposes an attitude that says, I will rebuke evil. I will reprove evil. I hate iniquity. I will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, I'm going to reprove them. That's what it means to walk as children of light. And notice it said, it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know what that means? It means don't share on Facebook a picture of some disgusting tranny to expose it. It's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. I don't need to see filth with my eyes. I don't have to defile my eyes with filth in order for me to know that it's wicked. I don't need to look at a tranny. You know, this tranny that recently got confirmed to the, I guess it's the health secretary or something like that, recently got confirmed by the U.S. Senate. I don't have to look at it to know that it's disgusting. I don't have to look at it on my Facebook timeline to know that it's a disgusting dog that should put a bullet in its head. So stop sharing that picture. It's all over my Facebook timeline. Everyone's like, oh, look how disgusting this is. I don't need to see it. I know it's disgusting. The Bible says it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We don't need to go into grave detail about sodomy and all these abominations. We don't need to go into grave detail about these things. It's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It is an absolute shame. Go to Ezekiel chapter 6, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 6. Just as Gideon's army, they shined these lamps which emitted light in darkness, and it caused the Midianites to fight amongst each other. We need to shine our light as bright as we possibly can, and that'll drive out darkness. That'll drive out darkness in this world. And the way we do that, the way we drive out darkness, is by rebuking evil, reproving evil, reproving wickedness. Walking as children of light entails rebuking wickedness. And that's exactly what Ezekiel was commissioned to do. In Ezekiel, I think I had you turn to Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6, look what it says in verse 2. It says, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. Look at verse 11. Skip down to verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot, and alas, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. So Ezekiel is told here, hey, preach against Israel. Prophesy against Israel. He says, smite with thy hand and stamp with thy foot. Why? Because of the abominations of the land. Because of their idolatry. Because of their worship of false gods. And in fact, in chapter 8, we don't have time to go there, but in Ezekiel chapter 8, God actually shows Ezekiel the idol worship that's been going on in Israel. The abominations that are done, and the worship of false gods, and the idolatry. And Ezekiel is told to pronounce judgment on Israel, to pronounce judgment on God's chosen nation. And I think that serves as an example for us. Yeah. Remember, the Bible says, walk as children of light. And in that same chapter, it talks about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving them. And how do we do that? Well, you walk as children of light by making a commitment to say, I will reprove evil. I will stand against the evils of this world. You know what that means? It means you get angry about it. Get angry about sin. There aren't enough Christians who are angry about sin. There's a righteous anger that you can display, and it's towards sin. Get angry about sin. Get upset about sin. You know, the Bible talks about smiting and stomping and lifting up your voice. And, you know, if you're a preacher, I know there's a preaching rotation going on here. There's nothing wrong with getting animated. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and get angry about adultery. Get angry about fornication. Get angry about people who've turned their back on God. Get angry about the abominations of America. Just like God said to Ezekiel, you look at what went on in the nation of Israel at this time. The abominations that they engaged in. You know, here in the United States, we're going down that path as well. And we need men of God, spirit-filled men of God from behind the pulpits of America to say, I stand against this wickedness. I stand against this iniquity, and I love the Lord. Amen. Where are these men of God today? Where are these spirit-filled men of God today? To say, I will rebuke the unfruitful works of darkness, not fellowship with them. Think about Elijah. He didn't have a tea party with the prophets of Baal. He smote them. He killed them. He didn't try and, you know, he didn't create some sort of ecumenical organization to minister unto them or something like that. There is no Chrislam in the world of Elijah, Rick Warren. There is no, I'm going to reach, there's multiple pathways to heaven, Islamicists. It's okay if you put your women in hijabs and you worship Muhammad and you deny that Jesus is God and you believe in a work salvation. That's totally fine because there's multiple pathways to heaven. No, that's not what it means. To reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. That's not what it means to walk as a children of the light. You know what it means? It means that you have no room for compromise. Yep. Now, obviously, there are some doctrines. I feel like if you have no choice but to go to an old IFB church and they're pre-trib or Zionist, I'm fine compromising on those issues. I'm fine with it. But, you know, I'm not going to go to a church that believes in repent of your sins for salvation. You know, I'm not going to go to a church that believes in oneness. I'm not going to go to a church that contorts the essential doctrines of the Bible. If you want to walk as a child of the light, it means you don't compromise on the truth of God's word, essential truths of God's word. There's no room to mince words today. We need preaching to get more hardcore. We need preaching to get more spirit-filled. We need more hard preaching, not less. Don't mince words today. You know what that means? That means that you, without apologizing, get up and say, you know what, Islamicists? Muhammad was a pedophile, all right? Muhammad was an illiterate pedophile who's burning in the lowest hell today. It means you make videos like Pastor Anderson does, dismantling the lies of that sheikh, whatever his name is, the psychopath weirdo who doesn't understand the Bible at all and yet claims that it has contradictions. That's what it means to walk as a child of the light, to rebuke false doctrine, to rebuke false religion. And yet there are some Christians out there, I guess, who think they're more loving than God, and they refuse to do that. Makes me sick. You know, here's the thing. Let's, like Elijah did, let's figuratively smite the progenitors of Islam and Mormonism and the Jehovah's false witnesses. And you know what? Let's get their followers saved in the process. Let's get their followers saved in the process. Let's not hold hands with them. Let's show them what the Bible says about how to go to heaven. And then we'll hold their hand, all right? Figuratively. Because the children of light should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Just like Ezekiel did. He was commanded to do so, and he did it. Just like Jeremiah, just like Moses, just like David, just like the prophets of God throughout the entire scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, who walked as children of light. Let's use them as an example for us and walk as children of light as well. So here's my conclusion. I'll wrap it up. I said this, I said point number one, you want to walk as a child of the light, walk in love. Exhibit love for God, love for your brothers and sisters in Christ, which entails sacrifice and sanctification. I said point number two, watch and be sober. There's a lot that must come to pass before the second coming of Christ. Let's be aware of it by studying our Bibles. Point number three, I said, increase your faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. I said point number four, examine what's acceptable to God. Point number five, I said, seek wisdom. And point number six, I said, reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. You want to walk as a child of the light today? Let's follow these steps outlined in Scripture. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this church. I pray that you would help us to walk as children of light. Help us not to walk as children of the darkness. And Lord, I also pray that you would continue to bless Steadfast Baptist Church in Oklahoma City and help this church to be a light to this city and to reach many with the gospel. And to preach against sin and to hate sin and help Christians serve you better. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
go on to the last hymn, Nothing But the Blood, number 30. All right, number 30, Nothing But the Blood. That's our final hymn for this morning.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. You are dismissed.